We started back there with Kenneth McKellar and Scott Swahey. Followed that up with Mrs. McGrath, recorded in 1951 by Alan Lomax. It's part of the historic series World Library of So-Called Folk and Primitive Music, compiled and edited by Alan Lomax, Volume 3, Scotland. And it was her take on My Love Is Like a Red, Red Rose. Followed that up with Alan Reid of Battlefield Band. Battlefield Band, as we mentioned, are coming to town. They're in fact playing at the Red Light Cafe Midtown Atlanta on the 27th of February, which is a Friday. And that was a recording specially made for us here down at WRFG. Well, it's 2 minutes past six now, and Kathleen Mainland is here. Welcome back, Kathleen, and Happy New Year. And I believe you have some relevant readings for us today.
Should have been last week, I guess, but I thought you could maybe do with some more Burns, seeing we only celebrate him once a year.
That's right. And how often do you turn 250?
Not often.
Not often. So what have you got for us today?
I believe we would like to hear To a Mouse. This was when Burns was ploughing, and he turned over a nest, a mouse's nest, a field mouse, I guess. This was composed while he was still holding the plough. So sleek it means smooth. And he starts off, "Wee sleek it cowering timorous beastie. Oh, what a panic's in thy breastie. Thou needna start a wassy hasty wi' bicker and brattle. I would be laith to run and chase thee wi' murder and prattle. I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union and justifies that ill opinion which makes thee startle at me, thy poor earth-born companion and fellow mortal. I doot na, whiles, but thou may thieve. What then? Poor beastie, thou maun live. A dame an acre in a thrave? It's a small request. I'll get a blessin' with the lave, and never missed. Thy wee bit housey, too, in ruin. It's silly wars the winds are strewin'. And naething now to beg a new in, o' foggage green, and bleak December's winds ensuing, baith snell and keen. Thou saw the fields laid bare and waste, and weary winter coming fast, and cosy here beneath the blast thou thought to dwell, till crash the cruel coulter passed out through thy cell. That wee bit heap o' leaves and stibble has cost thee mony a weary nibble. Now thou's turned out for all thy trouble, but house or hauled, to thale the winter's sleety drivel, and cranreuch cold. But, mousie, thou art no thy lane, improving foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes o' mice and men gang after glay, and leave us naught but grief and pain for promised joy. Still, thou art blessed compared with me. The present only toucheth thee. But, och, I backward cast my ee on prospects drear. And forward, though I canna see, I guess and fear. And there's one here about winter that I thought was maybe appropriate. It's a dirge. The wintry west extends his blast, and hail and rain does blow. Or the stormy north sends driving forth the blinding sleet and snow. Wild tumbling brown the burn comes down, and roars frae bank to brae, while bird and beast in covert rest, and pass the heartless day. The sweeping blast, the sky o'ercast, the joyless winter day, let others fear, to me more dear than all the pride of May, the tempest's howl. It soothes my soul, my griefs it seems to join. The leafless trees my fancy please, their fate resembles mine. The leafless trees my fancy please, their fate resembles mine. Thou power supreme, whose mighty scheme these woes of mine fulfil, here firm I rest, they must be best, because they are thy will. Then all I want, O do thou grant, this one request of mine. Since to enjoy thou dost deny, assist me to resign." There, you think you have bad winters. And here's one, "To a Daisy. to a mountain daisy, actually, on turning one down with the plough in April 1786. Wee modest crimson tippet flower, thou's met me in an evil hour, for I'm uncrush among the stour, thy slender stem, to spare thee now is past my power, thou bonny gem. Alas, it's no thy neighbour sweet, the bonny lark, companion meet, bending thee mang the dewy weed, wee speckled breast, when upward springing, blithe to greet the purpling east. Cold blew the bitter-biting north upon thy early humble birth, yet cheerfully thou glinted forth amid the storm, scarce reared above the parent earth thy tender form. The flaunting flowers our gardens yield, high-sheltering winds and walls maun shield, but thou beneath the random build of clod or stone adorns the histy stibble field, unseen, alone. There in thy scanty mantle clad, thy snowy bosom sunward spread, thou lifts thy unassuming head in humble guise. But now the share uptears my thy bed, and lo, thou lies. Such is the fate of artless maid, sweet flowerist of the rural shade, by love's simplicity betrayed and guileless trust, till she, like thee, all soiled, is laid low i' the dust. Such is the fate of simple bard on life's rough ocean luckless starred, unskilful he to note the card of prudent lower, till billows rage and gales blow hard and whelm him over. Such fate to suffering worth is given, who long with wants and woes has striven, by human pride or cunning driven, to misery's brink, till, wrenched of every stay but heaven, he, ruined, sink. E'en thou, who mourn'st the daisy's fate, that fate is thine, no distant date. Stern ruin's ploughshare drives elate full on thy bloom, till crushed beneath the furrow's weight shall be thy doom. He's a cheerful chap, isn't he? This one kind of appealed to me. Epitaph on a Henpecked Squire. Burns states that the subject of this epitaph was Mr. Campbell of Netherplace, a mansion a little to the west of Mochlin on the road to Mossgiel. It is possible that Campbell, or perhaps his wife, had given Burns some particular offence. As Father Adam first was fouled, a case that's still too common, here lies a man a woman ruled, the devil ruled the woman. And here is the epigram on said occasion. O death, hadst thou but spared his life, whom we this day lament, we freely would exchange the wife, and all been weel content. Even as he is, called in his graff, the swap we yet will do it. Tack thou the carlin's carcass aff, thou I get thee soul, O boot. Oh, another epitaph. One Queen Artemisia, as old stories tell, which deprived of her husband she loved so well, in respect for the love and affection he'd showed her, she reduced him to dust, and she drank up the powder. But Queen Netherplace, of a different complexion, when called on to order the funeral direction, would have eat her dead lord on a slender pretence, not to show her respect, but to save the expense. That's a Scots for you. If anybody cares to call in with a request, perhaps we can find it in the book.
The number down here is 404-523-8989. This is a unique opportunity. Kathleen Mainland has a big book of Burns. She probably doesn't have everything, but she has a lot of the well-known ones. So if you'd like to give us a call down here. We are going to take a listen to some tracks from an album called Robert Burns, The Complete Songs, Volume 3. It's actually a 12-volume series. We don't have all of them, but we do have some for you now, and I think you're going to know this first one. It's one of the famous ones.
Bangs and braes, O bonny doon, how can ye bloom sae fresh and fair? How can ye chant, ye little bot, and I sae weary through o care? Thou break my heart, thou wobbling bot, that wantons through the flower and thorn. Thou minds me, O departed joys, departed never to return. I rove by bonny doon to see the rose and woodbine twine, and elk a bird sang, oh, its love, and fondly say, could I own mine? Will lightsome hair a pood a rose too sweet upon its thorny tree? And my false lover storm arose, but ah, he left the thorn with me.
The snows the mountains cover, like winter on me seas, since my young Highland rover far wanders nations over. Where'er he go, where'er he stray, may heaven be his warden, return safe to fair Strathspey and bonny Castle Gordon. The trees now naked groaning shall soon their leaves be hanging. The bird is returned to fair Strathspey and bonny Castle Gordon.
Farewell to your Scottish fame, farewell your ancient glory, farewell even to the Scottish name, sae famed in martial story. Nurse, our grands are the always sands, and tweed runs to the ocean, to mark where England's province stands. Sick a parcel of rogues in the nation. What force or guile could not subdue through many warlike ages is rocked now by a coward few. For hireling traitors' wages, ah, the English steel we could disdain, secure in valor station. But English gold has been our bane, sick a parcel of rogues in the nation. Oh, would or I had seen the day that treason thus could sell us. My old grey he'd had lean in clay with Bruce and loyal Wallace. But path and power till my last hour, I'll make this declaration. We are bought and sold for English gold, sick a parcel of rogues in the nation.
That was the voice of Ian Bruce, and Ian Bruce used to come to Atlanta quite frequently, played at Eddie's Attic a number of times, but it's been a few years since we've seen him. That was three tracks in a row there from Robert Burns' The Complete Songs, Volume 3, put out by Lynn, L-I-N-N, the same people who make the turntables. We started off with Mick West and Bonnie Branks and Braes of Bonnie Doon. And in between we had Wendy Weatherby, interesting name considering she was singing Loud Blow the Frosty Breezes, another winter song, finished up with Ian Bruce and Such a Parcel of Rogues in a Nation. We are back with our two special guests, Mac Irvin, of the Robert Burns World Federation, and our regular first Sunday of the month reader, Kathleen Mainland. Kathleen has some more Burns for us right now.
Burns wrote odes to all sorts of people and things. Would you ever have thought of writing a poem to a louse? Because he did. Ha! Where ye gone, ye crowlin' fairly? Your impudence protects you sairly. I canna say ye, but ye strunt rarely our gauze and lace. Though, faith, I fear you dine but sparely on sick a place. Oh, this I forgot to say is on seeing a louse on a lady's bonnet in church. Ye ugly creepin' blastit wunner, detested, shunned by saint and sinner, how dare ye set your fit upon her, say fine a lady. Gae somewhere else and seek your dinner on some poor buddy. Swith in some beggar's hoffet swattle. There you may creep and sprawl and sprattle, wi' ither kindred jumping cattle in shoals and nations, where horn or bane ne'er door unsettle your thick plantations. Now hod you there, you're out o' sight, below the fatrels snug and tight. Nah, faith ye get, you'll no be right till you've got on it. The vera tapmost towering height, O Mrs. Bonnet. My sooth, recht bald ye set your nose out, as plump and grey as only grosset. Oh, for some rank mercurial roset, or fell red smedum. I'd gie you sic a hearty dose o' it, would dress your droddum. I wouldna ha' been surprised to spy you on an old wife's flanin' toy, that's flannel cap, or Ablin's some bit duddy boy on's wily coat, his ragged vest. But Mrs. Fine Lunard, fie, how dare you do it? Oh, Jeanie, dinna toss your heed, and set your beauties o' a breed. Ye little ken what cursed speed the blastie's makin. They winks and finger ends I dread are notice takin. Oh, wad some power the giftie gie us to see oursels as others see us. It wad frae mony a blunder free us and foolish notion. What airs in dress and gait would leave us, and even devotion. So that's what he thought about the louse. Now here's one I think you might know. Ye banks and braes o' Bonnie Doon. An Ayrshire legend says the heroine of this affecting song was Peg Kennedy of Daljarach, and Chambers also supposed the ballad to be an allegory of the same unhappy love tale. Ye banks and braes, O Bonnie Doon, how can ye bloom sae fresh and fair? How can ye chant, ye little birds, and I sae weary fu' o' care? Thou'll break my heart, thou warbling bird, that wantons through the flowering thorn. Thou minds me, O departed joys, departed never to return. Aft hae I roved by Bonnie Doon to see the rose and woodbine twine, and ilka bird sang of its love, and fondly so did I o' mine. Wi lichtsome heart I pooed a rose, fu' sweet upon its thorny tree. And my false lover stole my rose, but he left the thorn with me. And on quite another tack, I believe somebody asked for a man's a man for all that. Is there for honest poverty that hangs his head and all that? The coward slave, we pass him by. We dare be poor for all that. For all that and all that, our toils obscure and all that. The rank is but the guinea stamp, the man's the gowd for all that. What though on hamely fare we dine, wear hodden grey and all that? Gie fools their silks and knaves their wine, a man's a man for all that. For all that and all that, their tinsel show and all that, the honest man, though e'er sae poor, is king o' men for all that. Ye see yon birkie called a lord, wha struts and stares and all that, though hundreds worship at his word, he's but a calf for all that. For all that and all that, his ribbon, star and all that, the man o' independent mind, he looks and laughs at all that. A prince can mak a belted knight, a marquis, duke, and all that, but an honest man's a boon his might. Good faith, he manna for that. For all that and all that, their dignities and all that, the pith o' sense and pride o' worth are higher rank than all that. Then let us pray that come it may, as come it will for all that, that sense and worth our o' the earth shall bear the gree and all that. For all that and all that, it's coming yet for all that, that man to man the world our shall brothers be for all that.
And if you haven't noticed, folks, we've just heard the debut of the singing voice as well as the reading voice of our reader, Kathleen Mainland. Well, thank you very much, Kathleen. That was wonderful.
Oh, you're welcome.
We are celebrating the 250th birthday of Robert Burns, and Kathleen Mainland has just done some readings and a little singing for you. And when we return, we'll be speaking again with Mr. Mac Irvin. In the meantime, let's take a listen to a recording of A Man's a Man for All This. This is sung for us by Sheena Wellington, who actually sang it when the Scottish Parliament convened for the first time about a decade back. And this is exactly the same recording, I believe.
Is there for honest poverty that hangs his
The coward slave, we pass him by, we dare be pair for all that, for all that and all that, her toils obscure and all that. The rank is but the guinea stamp, the man's the gowd for all that. What though on him the fair we dine, we're hard and grey and all that. Gie fools their silks and knaves their wine, a man's a man for all that. For all that and all that, their tinsel show and all that. The honest man, though wears a pair, is king o' men for all that. You see, when Birkie called a lord, was struts and stairs and all that. Though hunders worship at his word, he's but a coof for all that. For all that and all that, his ribbon star and all that. The man o' independent mind, he looks and laughs at all that. A prince can mark a belted knight, a marquis duke and all that. But an honest man's up in his might, gait faith he manna for that. For all that and all that, their dignities and all that, the pith o' sense and pride o' worth, are higher rank than all that. Then let us pray that come it may, as come it will, for all that, that sense and worth o'er all the earth shall bear the gree and all that. For all that and all that, it's coming yet for all that, that man to man the world are, shall brothers be for all that.
Live there from Celtic Connections 2001, Sheena Wellington and Scots Woman. And that was For All That. Well, we are back with our special guest, Mac Irvin, of the Robert Burns World Federation. It's interesting that Kathleen read some of the famous songs, and also To a Mouse, To a Louse. Robert Burns had an environmentalist side to him too. He also sang about the small things in life and in nature.
Well, you hear Kathleen read about a mouse and a louse, which for listeners who are not certain, that's just an insect that was on a lady's hat. She's a very finely turned out lady, and so Burns is observing that with that famous statement, "Oh, what gift he gives us of others to see ourselves as others see us." But Burns clearly could elevate the commonness of life. I'm sort of reminded this week we've been talking about John Updike a lot because of his death, and an interview was played with Updike where he commented that he tried to write about the middleness of life. He said anybody can write about princes and kings, but he wants to elevate the small man, the common person. And really, without having the observation that Updike did, that's what Burns did. Even in A Man's a Man for All That, he sort of castigates princes and talks about an honest man as the greatest creation of God. But Burns clearly was an early environmentalist. There are 300 poetic references to nature in his works, and some of them the rivers and some of them small things, such as the insect on a lady's hat in church. But Burns clearly observed nature and was very much pushed to get his thoughts down in writing.
Now, it's been said by some that the life of Robert Burns, with its multi-colored form, is perhaps as interesting as his works. But yet, do you think his works would have survived 250 years if his life hadn't been so colorful?
Well, there's no question his life is interesting. Ogden Nash, the poet, wrote in 1951 that Burns wrote like an angel and lived like a man. And clearly he did live like a man. I think that if People magazine had been around in Burns' time, he probably would have been on the cover once a month because of his really outlandish lifestyle. But he wasn't that different. I mean, it was a different time. I think that we focus sometimes on Burns, maybe his antics, but people that met him. For instance, Sir Walter Scott was age 14 when he met Robert Burns. And he commented later that he'd never met such an impressive individual. The whole, the word charisma clearly would apply, that he had an impact on everybody. And people seemed to want to have him around. Sometimes they were for drinking sessions. Sometimes they were at the drawing rooms of Edinburgh. But he was a popular person, perhaps because of maybe they thought he'd be a country bumpkin from, he was the poet Plowman, but he surprised them with his intelligence and his wit and his words.
Well, we really appreciate you coming down and talking to us today and sharing all your insights and your great love of Robert Burns with our listeners. Thank you very much for doing that. We have one song to go here, and maybe you have something to tell us about this. It's called Flow Gently, Sweet Afton.
He made rivers in Scotland famous. The preserved small rivers that are not certainly not as outstanding as the Nile or the Amazon or the Mississippi, but these little rivers are sung constantly. And it's interesting to hear Kathleen sing. People in Scotland can sing. They're very different from those of us in America. We typically don't feel comfortable singing unless we've had a lot of drinks or perhaps unless we're in the bathroom, but in the shower. But the rivers that Burns wrote about, young Scots grow up and can sing those tunes, and they don't hesitate to. If they have an event, they have a ceilidh or an informal ceilidh. They're just sitting around, and everyone comes up and sings one Burns song or recites one Burns poem, or maybe it's just something as simple as telling a story. But it's pretty incredible to me that he could really elevate a simple river in Scotland to something that's on the lips of people across the Atlantic Ocean 250 years later.
Indeed. Well, thank you again, Mark Irvin. We really appreciate you coming down and talking to us today. I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed it. We've been getting some phone calls and emails during the show, and we thank you for helping us to celebrate his birthday.
Thank you, John.
We are going to take a listen now to a recording of Flow Gently, Sweet Afton. And if anybody can identify the singer here, I'd be most impressed. This is going to catch you by surprise. Give us a call down here, 404-523-8989.
Flow gently, sweet Afton, among thy green braes. Flow gently, I'll sing thee a song in thy praise. My Mary's asleep by the murmuring stream. Flow gently, sweet Afton, disturb not her. The stock dove whose echo resounds from the hill, ye wild whistling blackbirds in yon thorny dell, thou green-crested lapwing, thy screaming forbear. charge you, disturb not my slumbering
The Occasionals. The full set of basic Scottish ceilidh dances is the name of the album. It's a two-disc collection, comes with an audio and a DVD video with all sorts of instructions for Scottish dance. We heard the Tinker's Horse there, and we started off with Joe Stafford. Stuart Myers mustn't have been listening, or he would have called us up, I'm sure. Joe Stafford from another era, an album called Songs of Scotland, recorded in the mid-1950s, mostly Robert Burns material, and we played you Flow Gently, Sweet Afton. Here's a Scottish band who are coming to town and playing in Atlanta quite soon, Battlefield Band.
Thank you. Alternate Roots, in collaboration with the New Arts Exchange, will host a day of networking for artists based in the metro Atlanta area. The Artist Resource Fair will be held Monday, February 2nd at 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the Rialto, located at 80 Forsyth Street, Atlanta, Georgia, 30303. This event seeks to bring artists in contact with nonprofit, governmental, and commercial organizations that have services to offer to enhance their professional development. The Artist Resource Fair will empower artists of all disciplines and be reflective of the diverse communities within Metro Atlanta. The event is made possible through the generous support of the City of Atlanta Office of Cultural Affairs. For more information, the number is 404-577-1079. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by your listener-supported community radio, WRFG 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information.
three artists there coming to town in the coming weeks. Brian Conway just played for us there with Brendan Dolan on piano, Brian on the fiddle, for New York-based fiddler in the Sligo style. And he just played for us Martin Wynn's numbers 1, 2, 3 and 4, a bunch of reels there. We started off with the Battlefield Band and Clan Coco, The Road to Benderloch and 15 Stubbies to Warrigal, the opening track from their album Leaving Friday Harbour. In between we had the Chieftains with Anguilla Nas, The Wind from the South, pulled from their album Water from the Well from about 8 years ago. Okay, here's a quick rundown of the upcoming concerts. Brian Conway and Brendan Dolan on Saturday the 14th of February at the Red Door Playhouse in Roswell. Battlefield Band at the Red Light Cafe in Amsterdam Avenue, Midtown Atlanta, the 27th of February, which is a Friday. The Chieftains at the Fox on the 28th of February. Moore O'Connell at Eddie's Attic on the 7th of March. Boys of the Lock, Spivey Hall, 14th of March. Buddy O'Reilly Band, St. Patrick's Day at Eddie's Attic. And Celtic Woman, March 24th and 25th at the Fox. We are going to leave you with Auld Lang Syne. We're doing that a lot these days. Another version, another original version, so to speak, from Mr. Robert Burns. And this particular recording is sung for us by Ronnie Brown, and it's off the Lynn Complete Songs of Robert Burns set. Next week we'll have some special guests in exploring, among other things, the influence that Burns had on Ireland, and in particular Thomas Moore. Actually, it went both ways, the musical influence and the poetic influence. We'll explore that a little bit next week. Take care, be good, and we'll see you the next time.
And never brought to mind, should old acquaintance be forgot and auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my Jo, for auld lang syne, we'll tak a cup o' kindness yet for auld lang syne, and surely he'll be your pint stoup, and surely I'll be mine, and we'll take a cup o' kindness yet for auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my Jo, for auld lang syne, take a cup o' kindness yet for auld lang syne. We twae ran aboot the braes and pu' the gowan's pine, but we've wandered many a weary fit sin auld lang syne. Aye, we twae the morning sun till dine, but seas between us greedy road sin auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my Jo, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup o' kindness yet for auld lang syne. And there's a hand more trusty fear, and